Oh, this is my second time preaching. The first time, afterwards, my mom said to me, "You made your dad cry." Which is good that I didn't see him crying during the service, because I probably would have thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm doing horribly." But I told him this morning, my folks are here this morning, I said, "Dad, I'm sorry, but I'm going to make you cry again today." And you'll find out why later. So, I really appreciated how Joe started, thank you, Roger, how Joe started his sermon last week. And I, you know what, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a theologian, I'm a writer, that's my day job. So this morning, really, I guess I just want to get back to basics. What do we believe? I don't think that I have any deep theological insights for you this morning. My sermon has 2 points, and they're right there in the title. God's word is eternal and unchanging. So here's what's going to happen in the next 15 to 20 minutes. I'm going to encourage you with what you probably already know. And then to bring these points home, I'm going to leave you with a story. Because I'm a writer, and that's what we do. We tell stories. So, Psalm 119, written by someone, possibly David, who absolutely delights in and lives by the Word of God, or the Torah. Is this on? Is that why I'm getting feedback? No. Ted is fixing the problem. Okay, very good. So the Torah is the first 5 books of the Old Testament, or what we sometimes call the Pentateuch. It is the law of God as revealed to Moses. It's about God's covenants with mankind and with Israel. And the writer of Psalm 19 is making the Torah his focus. In almost every verse of this particular psalm, the word of God is mentioned. And it's a long psalm. It's actually the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the entire Bible. One of its prominent themes is that the word of God is all sufficient. The psalmist says it is perfect, it revives the soul, it is trustworthy, it makes wise the simple, gives joy to the heart, and light to the eyes. All sufficient. So I have a visual for you that all of a sudden disappeared. There it is. It looks a little bit squashed, but this is a painting that my husband Roger and I bought in Jerusalem. And to me, there it is. I've always thought of this painting as the Psalm 119 painting. There's a few things that I'm really drawn to. The artist, obviously, has used some really vibrant colors. And if you look at the lines in the background, I think that, together with the vibrant colors, gives it a really dynamic feel. And I think the artist did this on purpose, because his intention was to show that the Word of God is living and powerful. And if you could just take a look at the expression on this young guy's face, I love it. I think he loves the Word of God. And I see a real contentment on his face. And this painting is hanging in my office, so I spend a lot of time looking at it. And one thing that I really feel is he just has a complete satisfaction with God's Word. One more thing I want to draw your attention to. Look at his hands. They're holding the Word of God. And I think he's not just holding the Word of God physically, but he's holding it spiritually. So on that note, I'm going to focus this morning on verses 89 to 96. So listen to what the psalmist says in regards to the eternal, unchanging Word of God. And Dave, you can put the next slide up. Great. "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. The word of the Lord. As a writer, I spend my day essentially choosing words. I craft them into stories that will communicate a very specific message in a concise and compelling way. I choose them, I record them, they get printed, and voila, they are permanent, sort of. Because books and documents can be easily destroyed through all sorts of means, like fire or flood or mold or even paper-eating insects. They can go out of print, they can simply wear out, or they can be banned and burned. But the psalmist says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. He's comparing God's word to the stability of the heavens. Why? Because the heavens are God's realm. God's realm is not subject to the same changes and deterioration that our physical world is. In verse 90, he says, your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. And when he says established, he means made firm or stable. Whatever God has ordained and affirmed and promised will always remain true and sure. Nothing can destroy or erase God's word, not even if we throw it out of our schools, out of our courtrooms, or out of our politics. People who tried. In 1966, Mao Zedong, the leader of the Communist Party in China, introduced the Cultural Revolution. Religions became viewed as superstition, and all churches were closed and all religious activities were shut down. The Bible was banned and copies were confiscated. Mao's wife, Jiang Qing, made this now famous statement. Christianity in China has been confined to the history section of the museum. It is dead and buried. Well, unbeknownst to her, believers across China were taking their Bibles and carefully burying them in the ground for safekeeping, sometimes even in coffins. Buried? Yes. Dead? No way. And in case you're not aware, China today has an estimated 120 to 140 million believers. God's not bound by human schemes. He always finds a way to preserve his word. The psalmist says in verse 91, your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. God's sovereign word governs and maintains all of creation. People and governments may seek to obliterate it, but in fact, they are governed by it. Because God's word is eternal, it has extended impact. I love that phrase, extended impact. Verse 90 from the Message translation says this: your truth never goes out of fashion. It's as up to date as the earth when the sun comes up. Your word and truth are dependable as ever. God's word transcends time. It's just as powerful and relevant today as when it was first recorded. I am the self-appointed historian in my family. Now, it's partly because, yes, I'm a writer, But it's also because nobody else wanted the job. It's a lot of work, but it's very important to me that my young nephews, who are now 3 and 6 years old, have the opportunity as adults to read about their grandparents and their great-grandparents. That is part of their heritage, physical and spiritual heritage, and I want them to be able to know about it. God told the prophets and apostles to write this down because he wanted you and me to read those same words today so that we could know our spiritual roots. And so that by his word, our faith could grow on a solid foundation. He also wanted us to know that what he promises, he fulfills. When Israel was only days away from having the word, or having the world in which they lived, literally pulled out from under them, God said this to the prophet Jeremiah. Instead, write this down. I'm still your God, and you are still my people. Write this down. I have not forgotten you, and I have not forsaken you. Write this down. I will send a Savior, and he will redeem you, and he will bring you back to a right relationship with me. Write this down. I will never forget my covenant with you. God's word is a record of his promises. Some of them he's already fulfilled, so we can know that he is reliable. He doesn't renege on his promises, not ever. And if he has been faithful to fulfill those promises, then surely we can trust him to fulfill the promises. Here's what God told the prophet Habakkuk. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that whoever reads it may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will surely come and will not delay. We sometimes break our promises, but God never does. He always comes through. His word remains eternally unchanged. Do you remember last week when Joe gave us the condensed version of 4 well-known biblical narratives? And then he asked us, fact or myth? Well, then he asked us, if we believe that they are true, how does it affect the way we live? And I want to ask you, if we believe that the Word of God is eternal and unchanging, how should that affect the way we live? Well, I think the psalmist answers this for us. He says that we can make God's Word our delight. Verse 92 says, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." Second, we can find peace and comfort in God's word. I think this is what we really need to hear in such uncertain times. Verse 93, he says, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life." Here's the Heidi 2015 translation of that. "You have preserved my sanity." Do you notice that he says, "I will never forget your precepts"? He's making a choice there. And we can choose as well to focus on God's word, rather than the craziness and the uncertainty of everything that is happening around us. Third, we can seek out and reflect on God's word. The psalmist says, "I have sought out your precepts. I will ponder your statutes
Again, he's made a choice, and we can too. The psalmist knows the word. Obviously, he studied it, and he meditates on it. So here's the story I promised you. May 21st, 1922. In a town in central Poland, members of the Lutheran Church, ethnic Germans, gather for a very special Sunday service. It is Confirmation Day. After months of careful study, 14-year-old Emma makes a public profession of her faith and promises lifelong fidelity to Christ. Her pastor has a special certificate for her with a confirmation scripture on it. He lays his hands on her and prays over her. And something in the unseen world happens. I love this story. I won't look at my dad because he's probably crying too. The words of Emma's confirmation scripture become like a holy tattoo of sorts that will mark her for her entire life. Emma will grow up and marry. Her husband, also an ethnic German, will be conscripted into the German army and have no choice but to leave her to care for their two boys. The eldest four, the youngest still a newborn baby. A few years later, on a winter night, Emma will kneel with her boys in their meager two-room farmhouse as gunfire between Russian and German forces flies overhead. They will pray that the mortar fire does not fall short and hit them, and it does not. Months later, when the war draws to a close, Emma will attempt to flee to Germany with her children, but will be unable. The advancing Russian army, known for its brutality, is looting German homes and committing horrendous atrocities, especially against German women. Emma will not be harmed. One day, a family will show up at her farm and simply take over. Later, the militia will arrive unannounced and take her and the boys to a nearby village, to a farm that's in need of a laborer. There's rumors in that village about a German woman who had worked on that same farm and disappeared. Neighbors believe the owner, in a fit of rage, had killed her. Emma is her replacement. Several months later, Emma will beg for a day off work, walk 4 hours with her boys to their former village and meet with their old neighbors who have agreed to help them. But Emma's employer will become suspicious and follow them. And he is angry. Emma knows if he catches her, he may kill her. Emma and the boys will hide on a small island in the middle of a river, but they will be followed. Emma will put her oldest son on her back and will try to wade through the water, but will lose her footing. She cannot swim. She will cry out to God, and suddenly, in the swift flowing current, she will feel something solid beneath her feet. Emma will make it to East Germany, and later she will escape to the West. She will leave almost everything behind, but she will take with her the confirmation certificate she received all those years ago. The certificate with her confirmation scripture. The certificate that I believe, based on its tattered edges and well-worn creases, she has carefully unfolded and read many times. And this is what it says. Psalm 55:23. He will send my enemies to the pit of destruction, Murderers and liars will not live out half their days, but I am trusting you to save me. Are these just words on paper? My grandmother Emma didn't think so. God has given you and me his eternal, unchanging word, so we can find peace and comfort, so we can watch him fulfill his promises, and so we can read it, and we can reread it, and we can give it the right to speak into our lives. I want to do something a little bit different as a benediction, and you guys have a very small part in it. I'm going to borrow something from our Anglican and Catholic brothers and sisters. What I'm going to do is read the scripture again and say it as a blessing over you. I'm going to read it in the Message translation. And when I'm done, I'm going to say the word of the Lord. And I would like you to respond with, thanks be to God. I'm also going to ask if you would stand just in reverence for God's word. And if you feel so inclined, would you hold out your hands to receive this scripture as a blessing? What you say goes, God, and stays as permanent as the heavens. Your truth never goes out of fashion. It's as up to date as the earth when the sun comes up. Your word and truth are dependable as ever. That's what you ordered. You set the earth going. If your revelation hadn't delighted me so, I would have given up when the hard times came. But I'll never forget the advice you gave me. You saved my life with those wise words. Save me. I'm all yours. I look high and low for your words of wisdom. The wicked lie in ambush to destroy me, but I'm only concerned with your plans for me. I see the limits to everything human, but the horizons can't contain your commands. The word of the Lord.